Games in this podcast range from E to M.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the official Xbox podcast, the only podcast that comes to you from inside Xbox. Mom and Dad, Jeff and Tina are down at GDC this week, so you're kind of stuck with the B team, the bench warmers, if you will, aside from Rebecca, of course, friend of the show, been on quite a few times. But we're going to get to hear about GDC all next week. For now, let me introduce my host today. It's Rebecca Gordius and Josh Stein. Rebecca, this is the first time we've ever met live on the air.
I know, it's great. I feel like the retired basketball player who's coming back to the game to be like, hello, everyone, I'm still here. But
you're the athlete that's you've washed out and now you're a correspondent on ESPN. You're a commentator.
Yeah. She got one more championship in you.
Yeah, maybe, I love it. Oh, man. Steiny, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. It's always a pleasure to be on the podcast. I love when they forget whatever I do on this and then invite me back again, only to be quickly reminded why I was not on it last week.
Yeah, so, totally. No,
it's always great to be here. And hopefully Jeff and Tina don't mind if we take over the show for a little bit.
It feels good. It feels good that they would entrust us. Obviously, they're having a great time. I've never been to GDC, frankly. Never heard of it. So it'll be good. I'll be tuning in. Obviously I know what it is, but have either of you gotten to go before? Have you been down there?
You know, I have not.
Okay.
So I have traveled to San Francisco for GDC adjacent events.
Okay.
Like 5 or 6 years in a row. but I have never actually stepped foot in the Moscone Center. And then kind of similarly, I actually live in San Francisco now. I relocated in the last couple of years. But so I'm going to see like Jeff and Tina and some other colleagues when they're in town and I have meetings. But nice. I'm not actually going to GDC, even though I live here. So I don't know. Is it a real thing? Do people just come to San Francisco and say that there's a conference happening?
Yeah. No one knows. It remains to be seen. Well, obviously, we're going to talk about a lot of games today, a lot of news to get through. It's a big week in gaming, but let's start with what we're all playing individually. Rebecca, I'd love to kick things off with you. What you been gaming?
Sure. I actually have a game I'm really excited to talk about. Well, first, let me tell you about this other thing I've been playing. So I was out sick for like a week and a half last month. And during that time, it's kind of embarrassing to admit, I watched a lot of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Let's go.
It was
the ultimate comfort show.
Yeah, it was very nostalgic. You know, I watched SpongeBob when I was in like middle school or something like that, maybe elementary school. Dating myself there. But so I wanted to try the game. So it's SpongeBob SquarePants, Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated, I think. It's out on Game Pass. I saw it on Game Pass. And so I was like, oh, like, I should give it a shot. And I have to say, it brought me a lot of joy. It's like, oh, it feels very like kind of easy to play. I was just kind of bashing my way through. But it's really fun. Like, SpongeBob is actually a very well-designed cartoon and like very creative.
Oh, yeah.
I assume you guys are fans also. So
yeah, I mean, yeah. You don't have a show on TV for decades at this point without, yeah. You know, obviously it's a great show. I think I still have season one on DVD somewhere in storage. I mean, come on. There's some good episodes, but season one is chef's kiss.
Purchase a DVD set of season one. Of
well, okay.
I'm sure it was a while ago.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, because that's 100% true.
Like, up December 2023.
Listen, guys, COVID was a long, long time inside. Okay. I was running out of shows.
I just picture you being like not feeling good watching the show. And then when when you're sick, you have that 5 minutes of energy somewhere in the middle of the day. You're like, all right, now I'm going to just play the hell out of this game and then go back to watching. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
But the other game I was actually very excited to really talk about is called Venba. Have you guys ever played
Never it? Heard of it. Never heard of it.
Okay, so this is a hidden gem for sure. So a lot of my, I'm on the like Asians at Xbox, kind of like an internal employee group. And a lot of my like colleagues actually got together in Redmond and played it recently. And they were all like talking about it. Obviously, I'm not there in person anymore, so I couldn't. But it's on Game Pass. It's pretty short. I think I got through it in like 2.5 hours, maybe less. But it's a narrative game. So you're following this family of Indian immigrants who moved to Canada in, I think, the late 80s or early 90s. And it's kind of showing the perspective of like immigrant family and kind of the differences. But then there's also a lot of like cooking challenges kind of interspersed in there. And so I learned a lot about Indian food in the process, too.
Nice.
So I would say, yeah, like it's like I said, it's a pretty short game. It tells a really, really good story. I think it's just very well made. It's nominated for a bunch of awards. It came out last year. It was nominated for some stuff from the Game Awards. I'm not sure if it won, but it should have won something. So I would
you really enjoyed it.
Great. Yeah, I love those snacks. In a culture experience of it.
Go ahead. Yeah. What did you say, Stein? I missed you.
You kind of get a marinade in a culture experience of it, which is kind of cool.
Totally, totally. And I do love those games that are like 2 hours or 4 hours that are just kind of like, you know, these narrative driven experiences like you're describing, like Firewatch and games like this. I know we're going to talk about maybe one or two kind of games like that later on as well. But those are just so good. Those are always the games that it's like, if I was going to show somebody that wasn't a gamer, like I got my mom an Xbox a couple years back and she was like, what do I play? And I was like, Firewatch. You know, what you just described is like the perfect game for someone that's never, I guess, that might be confused as to like what games are, you know, like it's such a great, different kind of experience. Really awesome.
Totally.
I love it. Yeah. Well, Stein, I know what you've been playing. We gamed all weekend together. I feel like since the moment that Fallout trailer dropped for the TV show, we have been in 76 every night. Fallout 76.
Sporting Vault 33 today.
Yes.
For the show in anticipation. Fallout comes out, mid-April. Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm a Walton Goggins fan, too. Any country western that man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He's a
handsome man. And I love any kind of delivery he gets. He played a good bad guy, played a good like gray guy. You never really morally
plays
gray.
A great vice principal and vice principals. I can shout out that show.
Hilarious comedian. But I'm excited for the show. But yes, we just spent all weekend together. Our wives are not happy. But basically, Fallout 76, man, I watched a lot of streams of it when it came out and it had its heyday and it's doing its thing. And then, of course, I've worked on the marketing social side. So I've like kind of watched its journey as it's gone along. And I don't know what it was, but the trailer of the show got me excited.
Yeah.
My fandom really and love.
Yeah.
Walton mixed in and I'm like, I got to play Fallout 76. And then thankfully you've joined in and you've played before I played. So I've been playing a lot of catch up. I just hit level 50, which seems like that's like the top tier. So it looks like now
I get game stuff. You get to do the events.
I get the good shit now. So basically now I can get the good stuff. I can get the good gear, the good guns. I actually feel like I'm hitting worth a damn and things versus like just putting a shot on to so I can get the loot.
Yeah,
but it's been fun. We went to the pit last night and had a great time. It's like this little strike area.
It's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for the folks that don't know. The pit did not fare well after the atomic bombs fell. It's been on fire for 26 years. So we decided, hey, let's go check out this town. It was super fun.
We had burning, so we had to see it.
Yeah, exactly. We had a great time. Really difficult, but super fun experience. And that's like Fallout 76, Sea of Thieves, No Man's Sky, these service games that have just done nothing but improve upon their foundation. It's such a fun kind of experience to go back, you know, when the mood strikes you, maybe every few months. And so like for this one with Fallout, the TV trailer was like, oh, they added this. Whoa, there's new cities to go to. There's new things to do. It's just, I'm really proud of that team, or really happy for that team rather, and just what they've kind of turned that game into. And as a Fallout fan, it's just such a fun experience, even from a story perspective. I will say this, when we were recording, when we were prepping this show, I loved your shirt, but I like ahead of kind of jumping on this call, I was like, man, I hope Stein and I don't look the same. And sure enough, like bearded glasses, we got like one little icon. I got my
one
party
little icon right here.
Yeah.
At least you didn't wear your hat. Like
this. I thought about it too. It's haircut day tomorrow. So my hair is a little crazy. And I thought like, I can't wear a hat today. You know,
Stein's going to have one. Got the memo not to wear her beard today. So
and just generally dressed up, you know.
right. Functional human. Yeah. I do have to say though, I have to shout out the community. I know community managers work really hard on a lot of gaming communities, and it's a good testament to some of the effort that's done. It's been a while since I've jumped into a game with an open world and an open, you know, online experience. Fallout 76, I was like maybe level 5, and I won't remember the poor gentleman's name, but he walked right up to me and he like emoted. He did a little hi, he did a little salute, and then he dropped me the best gun I could have for the next 20 levels.
Wow.
And he was like, have a great time. And so I'm playing along. I pass it on. I run into like this little level 5 and I give him the gun to like kind of like carry it on, my son. And so like give him as he goes on his or her journey.
That's
and then
cool.
Somebody gave me level 35 power armor at 25. So then I got to put on this 35 power. It's been a while since I've been in a community where in a game where like it's been, and I'm not going in like an LFG and being can I have some scraps? I'm
so
just in
sweet.
There. Just,
it is
really nice to see them load me up. And it wasn't like so much like the game wasn't enjoyable and I was OP. It was just enough for me to like not have to like drag through and like die a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see just the openness and the invite. And that's unprompted. That was just me exploring the world. And people are like, hey, man, yeah, you're the gun. Hey, man. So I'm doing it myself as a level 50 now to anyone I run into lower than me.
It's like at Starbucks when you pay for the person's yeah, drink behind you, but it's happening in video. Yeah. I have never heard of this happening in a video game before either, for the record. Like, oh, that's so sweet. I love that.
I think it's the, the community that's there. And it makes me want to play the game more. It has nothing to do with the marketing, the game, the features. Literally, I want to be part of that. I want to help some other guy or gal from wherever, from whenever, who jumps in and maybe they need a little help me up. But I've been trying to do the same. Although I tried to do that once, fun story. And they were like, the order behind you is $55. Are you sure? And I felt like at that point, I was like
oh boy.
I mean,
I'll give him a tenner.
I'm not stingy, but like I ended up doing it because I felt so guilty. But
oh no.
Yeah, you're in the moment. What are you going to say? Nah, I changed my mind.
Am I going to look at that barista and be like, that's too much for my kindness? So
yeah, exactly. Oh man.
But for the most part, it's a great reference. Yeah, the Starbucks line, like pay it forward, pay it back. Yeah.
Oh man. I will say I love. One of my favorite things, and we can get off the Fallout hype train, but one of my favorite things about that game is kind of what you described it. In addition to that is your camps you build. Like this game has crafting and you can build bases, but furthermore, you can build vendor stops. And so you can essentially I built a bar, I built a tavern, and I have like a bartender. You can actually interact and sell your gear. You can buy food and drink. And like, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but that element of like, you know, I set my bar up right at the outskirts of a town where there's a main story. So I knew it'd be a thoroughfare for players. And so I get so many visitors and people give you things or they just come emote or play with your kind of cosmetic things. There's like bowling and shooting galleries and all these things you can do that actually buff your character if you do them. So there's like incentive to visit bases and just check out what people are working on. And it's kind of the first crafting game for me. And No Man's Sky had this as well, but where it's just like, I want to go see everyone's base in the server. I want to see the bars. I want to see the restaurant. I want to see the golf club that someone built, you know, country club, excuse me. Like, yeah. It's just a really fun dynamic to kind of put in the shops and the reasons to visit each other. Yeah. Yeah. What a game.
Hold on.
What
a game. Ethan Lore, though, you used to be a bartender and a bar owner. So I love that you
took
that IRL past experience and life you lived. And you're like, let's just stack up another little bar here on the outskirts of Old Whiteside.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a part of me that's like, whenever I retire, maybe I'll go back to being a bartender or barista. And I think I'm living that dream in every game where I can build something because I'm always building taverns. It's cheaper. It's risk. Way cheaper. Yeah, so much less risk. All right. I know you've also been playing Diablo, Stein. You kind of been back on the Diablo train. Is that true?
Always. Lilith's got her claws in me for life, man. Ever since Diablo 3 got ported over to console, I fell in love with the Diablo series. I went back. I played the other ones. And Diablo 4, I've been enjoying it a lot, continuing to still play it. Season 3 is out now. I've burned through almost all the seasonal content. And now they're doing these weekly trials, and you can do it in a single, a double, a triple, or a full stack of four players. But you basically just max out your gear, go in, you get an X amount of minutes. Every Tuesday, I think, it resets and it changes, so you get like a new dungeon layout. And it's fun to see people online and in Reddit like map out like the paths to try to get the max amount of XP, like kill this boss, then hit the regenerator, then kill the boss again, then do these six boss loops. And so I was with my group, like, we're like, oh, let's min-max this and turn left and south, and then you go east and west. And we're, like, doing just the nerdiest of, like, routes. I feel like I'm out with a trackpad, and I'm like, all right, I've got to take a southwest, three steps left. But it's fun. You get gear at the end of it. It's super nerdy, but it's, like, my weekly, every Tuesday, Wednesday, I kind of got to go in, got to set my weekly leaderboard, because you get rewards at the end of it. I will say... The false sense of dopamine comes in. It's a leaderboard, like 1 out of 1,000, right? So depending on which rank you kind of perform in, whether you're alone or with your team, I love going in the moment the servers reset, do a quick filthy run. It's just silly. It's just absurd. It's lazy. But like, it's like you're number 119 in the top leaderboard in the world. And I'm in there just like screenshot, post on Twitter, post on Instagram, post on Facebook, top of the leaderboards. See you guys. And then all the real players come in and I'm like, millionth in that rank by in 24
hours. Yeah, you had your flash in the pan.
Yeah, I totally. I wonder if I increase my social media skills, would I get more drops from fans in Fallout? You know, is that what it takes? Is that what it actually takes?
I don't know.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. All right. A lot of great games you called out. Also, just I do love the variety of games we're playing right now. Like that's a pretty solid list between the three of us. I'm a fan of that. But there are a ton of new games dropping this week. And in fact, Stein, I think I saw something you tweeted yesterday where you were just listing all the games coming out. And one of the games on that list, Dragon's Dogma 2.
Mm, right. Yep, right. I mean, comes out tomorrow when this airs, or
midnight
today.
Midnight tonight, airing. Yes, midnight tonight.
I got to get used to the podcast time travel. Like,
yes.
It's a Tuesday dressed in like, it's three Tuesdays in a trench coat dressed as a Thursday. So, but Dragon's Dogma 2, I'd never played the first Dragon's Dogma, but I saw all the lore. I've seen all the hype. I've seen the character create monsters. Yeah.
We talked about that ad nauseum last episode of the podcast. Horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, in a good way. Like, it's amazing what you can make, but there is some cursed images and some, like that Pikachu. Did anyone see that? Ugh.
It's a little bit haunting. His hair was just short enough to give you like the weebie-jeebie.
Yeah. Not a fan. Of the Pikachu. Definitely hype for Dragon's Dogma 2. This game, you know, again, we talked about it a few weeks now, or maybe last week we got a little bit into this, but very narrative driven experience. It's going to be really, it's going to challenge the player to kind of choose their own experience. And I, if I recall, we kind of talked about this a bit, there's really limited fast travel and quest markers. So it might be tricky for folks, but they do a good job of, Jeff said it, the world just feels lived in, which, you know, very true to the first game as well. So really excited to kind of dive into this world that is really robust, because as you know, big open world games, sometimes when the map gets too big, you know, sometimes it feels like you're just walking from point A to point B. And supposedly this game is really supposed to just be like, yeah, there's limited fast travel, but you're not going to want to. So kind of excited to check all of that out. And I don't even remember at this point how many years it's been between games. So I can't imagine being a fan waiting for 2 to finally drop. I mean, it has been quite some time. Maybe since season 1 of SpongeBob. not entirely
that
sure.
DVD dropped.
Yeah. I'll have to check the back of the box. In addition to that, Call of Duty Warzone Mobile dropping today, I believe, or very soon. Yeah, today.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you get things like cross progression. So that way you can take your weapons, your operators, your battle XP. I'm a skins guy, as Ethan knows. My 401k sits in my skins inventory of my various games that I own. I'm sorry, my children. Here's your college fund, little child.
College.
It's not that bad. I enjoy my skins, and I have to respect that you can bring all that over to mobile. So that way, whatever weapon or whatever cool operator that you enjoy, or even your battle pass XP, it kind of comes right on mobile. So I have to give them a shout out for that.
For sure. That's a good plug. And I will add an additional plug to that, is the only person on this podcast from the hardware team. There's a lot of really good mobile controllers if you're looking for something to kind of get an edge on the competition with this.
Tell us more, Ethan.
Yeah. I do got a plug.
I knew he had a plug.
Yeah. Come on. You know me. Listen. The X2 Pro from GameSir is like our newest one in the program. Now there's a lot of options, and I implore you to explore different ergonomics. Do your research, because it's not a one size fits all for mobile controllers, especially if you're using cloud gaming for more arcadey experiences like Slay the Spire or Vampire Survivors versus maybe you're playing Call of Duty Mobile in addition to cloud gaming. So I got to shout out this controller. GameSir, just an awesome partner with Design for Xbox. They're making some really, really cool stuff. And the X2 Pro, might be one of my favorite newer ones. And I know the team that worked on that, they did a lot of cool stuff with it. So check that out for sure. And I believe, Rebecca, you're interviewing them next week.
Yeah, the folks, I feel like I've done a couple Call of Duty interviews in the last couple of years, but truthfully, they are a team that never sleeps. Like, they always have something that they're cooking up. So yeah, I'm excited. Stay tuned for the interview next week.
Ooh, little tease. Alone in the Dark. As anyone, Stein, I know you're not the biggest horror fan. Have you looked at this game at all?
I am not any horror fan. No, but I do love the description of this. I love this.
Please,
Alone in the Dark weaves a chilling tapestry of psychological horror and a Southern Gothic charm. Reimagine the iconic game that set the benchmark for the genre. I feel like it's got its own little Southern charm within it. So I love
Chilling
when, I love
Tapestry. Yeah.
Chilling Tapestry. It's good. Rebecca, you, before you're so rudely interrupted by Stein, I wanted to ask, are you a horror fan just in general? Do you play horror games?
I am a big horror movie and TV fan, but for video games,
it's too much.
Throwing the controller and
I can kind of understand that. As Stein knows too well, I love horror, but I can't do it alone. Like, I'll literally make someone come over to watch me play Resident Evil. Like, yeah. I can't. I'll just be like, I can't go in the room. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
But this one looks good.
Turn the lights on.
It's true. I will say this one has, I believe, a couple actors that folks may know. Jodie Comer, is that how you pronounce it? But which she's been in a few things you may recognize. Free Guy, one of the more recent ones. But the gentleman playing the lead actor is David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Handsome David Harbour.
And now he's taking a chance at video games.
I love that.
No, this is cool. I love it too, because I think I've seen a few interviews with David Harbour on like different red carpets, and I feel like he talks about games plenty, or he gets asked about them enough. So it's always kind of fun to see like where the interests collided between like different kinds of art. Definitely going to tune in or check out that game, and definitely going to call one of you to watch me play it. I mean, I apologize. That's just
I'll
what you
see
get
you there. I'll bring your security blankie. Lights at 90%. I got
Thank
you.
Thank you. Last but certainly not least, Final Fantasy 14 comes to console, comes to Xbox. About time. This is great. Right. This is great news.
Right. Square Enix and Xbox doing some crazy cool partnership stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are really excited for this. I know, probably biased, I see the social side of things. Anytime we burp the word Final Fantasy, people get so excited.
Yeah.
And they get really thrilled. So this is a massive, massive community. This game's been around for a while. 30
right,
million?
30 million players right now. And I played this game. At this point, it was years ago the first time I dove in, and MMOs for me are much like service games, right? Dive in for a year, a few months, 3 months, 6 months, and then take a huge break and then come back. This would be a good experience, excuse for me to kind of jump back in. But like I said, 30 million adventurers worldwide are taking part in this epic and ever-changing Final Fantasy adventure. And it's going to have all the hallmarks of a best-selling franchise that you can expect, and a myriad of diverse and captivating environments to explore. And obviously, you know, there's some solo content and a bunch of reasons to party up with your friends on this game. I'm excited. This is like, MMOs for me are just great couch games. I love MMOs, but I never want to sit at my computer that long. So I'm really excited to see this one come.
You want to feel the blood Xbox. Go to your feet and back to your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good way to put it. Yeah, play it on the couch. And if you have Game Pass Ultimate 2, you can get the starter edition as a perk between That's now. Right. At April 19th.
Oh, this is why I love being on the air with Stein, Rebecca, because he's always going to catch that stuff that I'm guarantee you I'm going to forget.
I got you. I got your perks. Somewhere there's a Game Pass marketing manager being like, I feel
bad today. Nailed it. Yeah.
Oh,
for
you
sure.
guys complete each other's sentences. That's good. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or finish each other's sandwiches. I don't know.
Nice. That was a good reference.
That's what I was going to say.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Game Pass titles out now.
Mm-hmm.
Out now. Kicking things off, MLB The Show 24. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast the last few weeks. Maybe the best sporting game out there, depending on what your favorite sport is. But certainly, in my opinion, the best baseball sports game. And this is a great one. You know, you get to experience game-deciding moments, become a legend, and live out your baseball dreams in this game. And I believe for the first time, you're going to be able to play as a woman through the entire like league, which is kind of awesome to see. I love that this game is coming to Game Pass. I love that the MLB The Show has been coming. Like, this is such a cool partnership. And I think people are really excited for this one. And I believe Malik interviewed the devs last week. That was last week's podcast. So if you'd like to hear all about that, definitely check out that interview. You don't have to watch the rest of the podcast. I think I was on that one. You can skip through that or not, because we need the minutes. You know how it is.
We need the minutes.
Come on. Lightyear Frontier also out this week. I'm actually very hyped for this game. Anyone else like farming sims?
I'm gonna check it out. I love the idea. I'm not a farming sim too much, but farming's in my Stein blood, so I come from a lineage of farmers. My allergy season would disagree with that.
Yeah.
And the hay fever that attacks me. But I love the idea of mixing, like, my love. I just say, like, it's like mixing to me Titanfall and farming simulators. Yeah. And I feel like what could be more fun than, like, picturing out on the old Stein tractor, but instead it's a tractor, it's like a mech. And you're just in there just like sowing the fields and like you baling hay, but like just over the top in a mech.
Isn't there an episode of, I think, Love, Death, and Robots that is basically like that? Yeah.
It's a little darker than Lightyear Frontier, but you are on the right track if you want to watch that for a little twist and then jump in.
Yeah, that's a really good call out. It is a much darker story, I imagine, than Lightyear Frontier, which looks extremely cozy. But you gotta, I mean, my favorite thing about that is that it's going to be co-op. I don't mind farming games. I like cozy games just in general, and I far prefer them with friends. So I'm kind of excited to dive into this, maybe drag you in, Stein. And I gotta say, I can relate to the allergies. It's tree pollen season here in Seattle, and the only reason I'm wearing these glasses is because my eyes are so puffy. I took two Benadryl before this episode, so I look sleepy. That's why.
I can tell you sound a little sniffly, honey. It's okay. Okay,
come on. Come on. Come on. Ooh, okay. I'm looking at the notes here and the other games coming to Game Pass. The Quarry. Oh.
Another scary game.
And I love these games. I love every, like, Dark Horse or Dark Pictures Anthology, Until Dawn, like, these kind of games. Ooh, speak to me. They really are fun. And one of the main reasons I like these are my dad's favorite games. Like, he loves narrative-driven games because he can't play. He doesn't like a controller. He just doesn't. But he loves to sit down and watch my sister, watch me play games. So he always brings, he'll, like, pick out a title and be like, I want to watch you play this. So The Quarry was actually one of them we played together through on Christmas, maybe? Last year, and
really,
and
happy holiday vibes.
Yeah, well, we had rented a cabin in the woods, so it kind of was like, that's, it was worse. Creepy enough. It was creepy enough.
This does not sound like a good time.
Yeah, but it's scary. Like, you don't like being scared in the setting. Like, you don't. I don't know. Okay, fair enough.
Listen, too close imagine.
To right, enough. Imagine this: you're in a cabin in the middle of the woods with your family, and then you boot up a game that is titled "The only thing worse than the blood-drenched locals and creatures hunting them are the unimaginable choices you must make to survive." Like, that just sounds terrifying. I am one stick scrape away from, like, Forrest Gumping home and running down the road and not stopping for you or anyone.
Totally, totally. Little piece of info I forgot to add to that is that my grandma was staying with us, too, and she noped out of that living room within 15 minutes. She was just like, no, this isn't for me. Like, that intro, which I don't want to spoil anything, there's a couple famous actors that... just play the game. Just play the game. You're gonna enjoy it. It's a great
grandma.
Yeah. Maybe not with your grandma. That's a good call out. Unless she's just dark and twisted. Last but certainly not least, Stein, a game you've played, Evil West. Tell us about it.
I love me my Western games. This is kind of a really cool hybrid. It brings to me kind of almost a Darksiders vibe to Western games. Big fan of the Darksiders series. But this is kind of like this dark, menacing world, and you can play it co-op or you can just play it by yourself. But you have these really visceral, almost like Gears of War, like action and gore and reactions to it. Ooh. But like you basically have to eradicate these vampire hordes, and you have a gauntlet that's like fueled by lightning. But then you have these crazy cool six shooters. So you kind of feel like the Man with No Name, but in like a vampire-drenched Constantine world, kind of like hell and everything. And so I used a lot of different genres.
Yeah. A vampire-drenched Constantine world.
I know. They're going to put that on the box. It's great, though. It's a lot of fun. It's dark. It's broody. It's not too scary, though. You can play with the lights on. That's a game where I will not play with a headset. I'll just put on the speakers and turn it up because it does have a few moments of brawr. I'm not a brawr kind of guy. I'm more like a meow kind of guy. It's so, I prefer something a little less scary.
I love it. That's dope, man. That one's on my list. I haven't tried it yet, but I really do want to check it out because, like you, I like cowboys and I like vampires. But let's talk about what's coming soon, and we got kind of a decent list. So Terra Invicta coming out next week. That one looks pretty exciting. Diablo 4, Stein. Diablo 4.
Coming to console PC March 28th.
Nice.
We're going to bless us all on Game Pass. They've been doing a great job on social, getting the people excited for this. getting people kind of in the stands, getting ready. And I'm really excited just to see everyone experience like the story of Diablo. And then if they want to, optional, they can, you know, jump into the seasonification of it. But I love the story.
Word.
That was great. And so I'm excited to see everyone experience one of Blizzard's bangers.
Nice. I've never heard the word seasonification before, but I'm going to trust you that that's a real word. Also, we got Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 dropping. That's Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged. That's going to be dropping. A lot of fun. Those games are great party games. Perfect Game Pass game because you know all your friends are going to have it. You can jump into a few races and have a great time. And very akin to Rebecca, the game you were talking about at the top of the show, we have Open Roads coming next week, which is going to be day one with Game Pass. And for folks that don't know, this game is done by Fulbright, which is a studio that did Gone Home and Tacoma. So very similarly narrative-driven experiences. In fact, like Gone Home, you can beat in like 30 or 45 minutes if you know the ending. So they're really snackable, but gripping stories. Just a lot of fun. So definitely check out Open Roads. That's another kind of good one. And the little blurb for folks that want to know what the setting is it's about long-lost family secrets, maybe a hint of hidden fortune. And miles to go before they sleep, Tess Devine's relationship with her mother has never been easy, but they're about to set out together on a journey into the past that they'll never forget. So kind of a good setting. Might be pretty emotional. I will say Fulbright Studios, their games have some emotional moments. You know, I definitely get a little misty-eyed when I play, if I'm honest, but I'm a crier. What can I say?
Bring tissues.
Learning so much about you today.
Yeah. This is. Listen, I'm an open book, Rebecca, okay?
You can charge him a copay after this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true. This is my therapy session for the week. Yes, that's true. Ark Survival Ascended also coming April 1st. So that's going to be coming. I mean, obviously, Ark's got what a community, massive community.
Yeah, speaking of massive communities, like that game is still going strong. People are loving it. People are enjoying it, and well deserved. Of course, I know the developers worked really hard on it. I'm always impressed to see the crazy things that people build in Ark and just the worlds that they kind of expand on. So yeah, coming to cloud, console, Series X and S, and PC April 1st.
Nice. Our mutual friend Stein, Andy Salisbury, I think he's over on Team Bungie. He's been playing a lot of F1 23.
Yeah.
And that's coming to Game Pass. So we'll have to let him know that we can jump in with him. That looks pretty good as well.
Shows, games, everything F1 to watch and become a fan of. He's just waiting for that moment for me to be like, hey, tell me about this F1.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of a dream come true for him. But yeah, should be pretty fun. I mean, you got your F1 23 more for the racing sims or the people that want to dive into that. And then for the folks that are more into the arcade side of racing, you got Hot Wheels. So kind of something for everybody in the wheel space. And I'm going to use that as a plug for some other wonderful hardware. If you're in the need for new, sorry, I was trying to sound so
smart.
I got two people from marketing here. I'm trying to impress you guys.
Use your marketing voice.
If you guys are in the need for a new wheel, look no further than the Turtle Beach Velocity 1. What if I got the name wrong? The Velocity, I was right. The Velocity 1 Pro.
Just Ron Burgundy that.
Velocity 1 Race. Now, this is actually Turtle Beach's first wheel, and it's sick. I've gotten to play with this in the lab a few times on campus. And it's just a really, really nice wheel. And I think Turtle Beach, like I said, this is their first wheel. So it's kind of awesome to see a hardware partner come out swinging with something like this. So definitely check out the Velocity 1 Race if you guys are looking for wheels. And then if that's not, you know, if you're also going to be doing some simming with that, so maybe you're playing some farming sim alongside F1 or Hot Wheels, Thrustmaster actually just released one of our awesome partners as well. They just released a wheel that's more of a focus on sims. It's called the T128 Sim Task. And so this thing is awesome. It's a little bit more for the folks that are going to need it for more than just racing. So if you're going to be getting behind the wheel of a big rig, perhaps in Truck Simulator or farming, definitely check that one out.
Them full 18 wheels, baby. You break out the sim pass. I love
exactly.
That.
There's a wheel for everybody. It is a different experience to get behind a wheel. I never had wheels at home. And only when I joined the hardware team did I start getting to play with them more consistently. And I just love it so much. It is a lot of fun. I think we have one more game coming soon, which is one a few of us played. Very popular title, Super Hot. Now, this is Mind Control Delete specifically. But if you have not played the Super Hot games, you must check this out. They are a riot. You feel like an action hero. It's like John Wick the game. It's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of got like this low polygon, like artistic style, but You do some crazy cool fun things in there, and you feel like a legend, literally, or like Mr. Wick himself when you're like dodging a bullet spray while like throwing a glass bottle and then like shooting like rounds as you're just like whipping it around. Matrix for my geriatric millennials out there. And so it's a great time. I got to choose my references culturally, depending.
We're getting old, guys.
But even the art style is really cool. I remember when the first one came out, a bunch of us played it in the office, and it was like, oh, this is really unique. Like, no one, I feel like no one was doing that kind of geometric, like, kind of simple, but very, like, still intimidating.
Yeah, style.
Art style, yeah.
Very deliberate style that really was great for the genre. And I love, like, for folks that don't know, it's one of those games where... nothing moves unless you move. So it's like, you have to be so deliberate with like what you're going to do next, because you have to dodge bullets. You have to dodge someone's knife attack, but you also need to take these people down. So it is just, there's nothing like Superhot. Like, it is its own kind of thing, and it excels. It really is a fun experience. Oh, so many games on Game Pass, you guys. That's a lot. That was a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of cool stuff. You know, the Minecraft Marketplace team also released the Minecraft Marketplace Pass recently, too. I mean, you know, there's no shortage of stuff in Xbox Game Pass, but there's also no shortage of stuff in the Minecraft Marketplace. It's a kind of curated library where there are people who are actually creating content who don't work for the Minecraft team. So it's like different, like, external people that like become a partner and then they release content. There's also some really cool, like, branded stuff in there. Like, there's a ton of different there's at least one DLC for like every Star Wars movie or show that's ever been created.
Sure.
There should be.
As there should be. Yes.
And so the Marketplace Pass is cool because it's a way to try out all of those different things without necessarily like needing to spend the coin, like the literal coin. They use coins.
Yeah.
Nice. The Minecraft people will understand that reference. But it's cool. So people, it's an easy way to find even more things to do in Minecraft.
Oh, Stein, just another cosmetic store for you to shop at.
Yeah, well, I love that it's community driven. If you haven't been noticed by the literal plethora of rainbow around me of memorabilia and kids' college funds, but I always love when there's opportunities in games to build a marketplace for the content creators. I actually used to work with a young lady, her name was Heather, who used to create Minecraft skins, and she would talk about it, and I always thought it was so fascinating to learn about
Heather.
Her world. Yeah,
we both remember Heather.
And it was fascinating to hear her just learn about that, because she'd just get inspiration somewhere, and she'd be like, oh yeah, and then come back on Monday and be like, yeah, I just created this whole family pack of skins.
Yeah.
I have a lot of appreciation for people who can do that, as someone who has no talent whatsoever when it comes to those kind of things.
Few more announcements. Shadow dropping today, Arc, the animated TV series.
A lot of excitement for Arc. It's cool to see this come to the show. I was looking at it earlier, watching the trailer. Executive producers, you go from Gerard Butler to Russell Crowe to Vin Diesel. Whoa. This is going to have one hell of a baritone voice act.
Like, imagine so
going
funny.
From those three accents all together and those unique different characters. But the trailer looked great. It's for a few weeks every Tuesday and Thursday following the show's release. New Dear Jane notes will be actually added to Arc, each unlocking a new character skin from the show. And I love this. Like, I feel like we're approaching this new era where all these animated shows are coming to life and building upon this video game culture. And then they're also slipstreaming back to the video game culture and bringing like skins and things, you know Vault 33 and, you know, the Fallout show. I love the idea that Ark is like bringing things from the show to the game, because
cool.
It builds excitement around the whole fandom and the lore of it all.
Yeah. If you're a fan, it's just fun. Like it's that's definitely what I'm hyped up about. Like Fallout, for example, and even like season 2 of Halo, I've just been enjoying watching for catching the references. You know, it's just always a lot of fun as a fan. Well, across the pond, our friends at Xbox On put together a great interview with Tales of Kenzaru Zao creator Abubakar Salim. And it, like, if you haven't watched this interview, it's great. It's really worth a watch in its entirety. But they spoke in depth about the role of grief in the game's story, as well as how Kenzaru shakes up what you typically expect from a Metroidvania game. So let's play a quick sample of you so you can see what this interview is, because it really is something special. Take a look.
Out of all the abilities in the game, do you have like one particular favorite that you like?
Yeah.
This is the one.
Pulse.
Pulse.
There's a pulse ability, which you know, it's you kind of get it kind of midway through. I think the journey of getting it is really awesome. And also just the story behind it, but also the effects it has. And every ability has like a secret thing about them that works in tandem with, you know, to a degree with one another. Mm. You know, there's basically, put it this way, there's a really cool thing about Pulse where if you do it at the right time, at the right moment in certain areas and elements, be it, you know, be it boss fights or, you know, be it in combat. It's really cool.
I'm going to have to remember that. I'm going to have to look out for it as well. Yeah.
All right. Again, you can go check out that full interview over with our friends on Xbox On for Tales of Kinzera Zao. Excited for that one to come up. The visuals of that look absolutely gorgeous. It looks like it's going to not only tear my eyeballs out in beauty, but maybe my heart out in feels. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to experiencing that. Now, onto the fun part of the show. Let's give away some free cool stuff.
Yes.
Free Code Friday. For Free Code Friday this week, we, of course, have the very timely release of Dragon's Dogma 2. So thanks to our friends over in marketing and our partners at Dragon's Dogma 2 for giving us codes. We're going to give away to a couple handful of lucky people. So how do you enter? First, you need to keep an eye on the twitter.com/@XboxWire Twitter profile between noon and 2 p.m. That's Pacific time, this Friday, March 22nd. What you'll see is you'll see a post come out in that two-hour time span, and then you'll want to reply to the Free Code Friday tweet with your answer for this week's questions. What is this week's questions, you ask? Great question, Ethan. It is, if you had a dragon, what element would they be and why?
Oh, man.
And it could be anything. It could be silly. It could be fun. Yeah, Rebecca, what's your dragon
you
power
go first.
You would give them?
Well, I had this like element conversation after watching the Avatar live action that came out recently, and I'd probably be Fire Nation if I'm being honest. But I feel like a dragon that spits fire is so unoriginal. So I would have my dragon spit maybe like, I was like, what do I use a lot? And it would be like hot sauce, because then it could still be a weapon.
It's delicious. Oh!
Or it could be amazing and delicious. And
yeah. I was gonna say, is it edible? It
Yeah.
Or is it so hot it melts and kills people?
It's edible hot sauce, but it's really spicy hot sauce. Mm-hmm. So if it hits you, you're still like in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. In mass quantity, you melt.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Steiny?
Maybe something also edible.
Three
so yeses runner, what?
My runner-up was going to be Baja Blast. I feel like a Baja Blast dragon would be pretty legit, but I gotta go with cheese. I want a dragon that just spews hot cheese, or in cold temperatures, shredded cheese. I feel like just being pummeled by shredded cheese.
I need to point out that both of you picked food. Like, are we hungry? There's a thousand other things it could be.
This is generally a time of peace, so I don't have any immediate enemies, so I'm like, I want my dragon to be more functional than intimidating.
Sure. Just like, I got street tacos, help me out. That's interesting.
What's your extreme mean version?
I feel like I had to pick a food. I feel like my...
No. Go with your gut. Go with your
If
soul.
I had
What's
to pick any element, it'd be the element of surprise. No, that's been terrible. That's a terrible
heart
joke.
Attack dragon?
Yeah. I'll take I've already been kicked off the show for that comment. I don't
Grandma, no.
I had you both go first because I didn't know. I didn't have an answer. Normally I have such an answer for this, or I'm ready, locked and loaded with an answer. What element would my dragon be? I don't know. I like the idea of lava for some reason, mainly because it's not a food. And it actually, you know, is like effective. Also, like, I was scarred for life watching Dante's Peak. Is that the movie? Anyone remember the scene with the grandma? Anyone remember
walking
that scene?
Through the boat?
The acid.
Yeah.
I will make it to the other end.
So, okay. Horrifying. So, spoiler alert.
Well, there is a dragon like that in, was it the Vox Machina?
Machina,
Did you guys watch that show? Yeah, they had the acid spewing dragon, and that was pretty formidable, honestly. So, that's a respectable choice.
Your dragon would
kill our dragon. Our tasty
so
dragons. Yeah.
Hot sauce, hot cheese, and just poison and just
lava. Yeah, honestly, you guys way more kind of like function over form, I think, honestly. But not bad answers. I think Twitter and
all the social media folks are going to have way better answers. Yeah. So I can't wait to check them out.
I'm excited to see. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Unfortunately, Jeff and Tina have been gone, but fortunate for us, we've all got to spend some time together. Rebecca, it was great to do the podcast with you and jump on. I know we've worked professionally, but now I feel like
this counts as hanging out, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It counts.
Check. Yeah. We're friends. Yeah. Ethan, always a pleasure. I'll see you this weekend, I'm sure.
Yes.
But make sure all of you give us a follow. Hit us up over on the Xbox channels, from Twitter to YouTube to Facebook to TikTok to Instagram and even WhatsApp. Check us out there on the Socialverse to stay up with the latest and greatest of all things Xbox and official news. Thanks to Ethan and Rebecca, of course, and I'll say myself for joining this podcast. But shout out to our producers and Jeff and Tina for letting us take over the show for this week. Mom and Dad will be back next week, but tell them you loved this show. Tell them you absolutely thought this was one of the best podcasts you've ever listened to.
Ever.
But most importantly, thank you to the community and the audience for joining us. We'll see you next week. Have a good day.